Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to our weekly meeting. We'll call the meeting to order April 1st, 2014. Approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. One amendment for the agenda. There was an oversight in the agenda's drafting last week. We can amend under executive session, striking job applicant qualifications, pending potential litigation, and land acquisition, leaving personnel.
Motion to approve the agenda is amended.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of March 25th. Any corrections or changes or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
I have none, Mr. President.
Correspondence from Council. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. This morning, we are joined by the Sussex County League of Women Voters. Mrs. Jane Lork and others are here to present their Sunshine Day presentation. Please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Sunshine Week is a national initiative that promotes openness in government and encourages people to play an active role in government at all levels. Although Sunshine Day actually happened in March, we do appreciate this opportunity to present our Sunshine Report to Council today. This report was compiled and written by Carol Summers, creator and coordinator of our league's Observer Corps. As part of the League of Women Voters' support for openness in government, its Observer Corps monitors government bodies for issues of importance to the League and to the county. The Observer Corps of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County was organized in January of 2009. We have now completed our fifth year of activity. Observers attend County Council, Planning and Zoning Commission, and Board of Adjustment meetings. Reports from the observers are compiled into monthly reports and submitted to the Board of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. Between February 2013 and January 2014, the League of Women Voters observers attended 75% of County Council meetings and 58% of meetings of the Planning and Zoning Commission. This report is a compilation of the major reported issues and concerns from the past year as viewed by the observers and that relate to positions of the League of Women Voters. As stated, the issues reported here are those for which the League of Women Voters has a policy position. Therefore, I'll briefly refer to the relevant position or positions of either the League of Women Voters of the United States or the League of Women Voters of Delaware for each of the topics. In the interest of time, I may not recount the whole policy position. Our first concern is water problems. We were pleased that Council did not oppose the septic system regulations that are projected to improve water quality standards in the Chesapeake watershed. Wells in the Herring Creek area are being monitored and show high levels of nitrates and chloride, possibly from saltwater intrusion. Action is being taken to give residents the option of having the county organize a water district in the area. This situation illustrates the potential for a much larger problem as development in environmentally sensitive areas continues, along with sea level rise. The county's adoption of a new wastewater territory map, giving the county the right of first refusal, is a positive step toward eliminating a patchwork of private sewer projects. Stormwater runoff and drainage problems continue. No definitive action by Council has been observed on this. The League of Women Voters of Delaware supports a comprehensive planning policy which includes strict control of development in floodplain areas, as well as plans for extensive adaptation measures at all levels of government for climate change impacts that cannot be avoided, including sea level rise. On the national level, the League supports preservation of the physical, chemical, and biological integrity of the ecosystem with maximum protection of public health and the environment. Our second area of concern is planning. As has been reported in our previous reports to Council, a certified, professional, properly compensated land use planner, preferably more than one, is critically needed. This person should be providing expert guidance in decision making, not managing a department of employees. A certified county planner would have access to information about previously approved projects and could provide coordination and a comprehensive counsel on potential traffic, water, and other infrastructure concerns, thus assisting the council in their important role in land use. In relation to the economy, as we noted in our comments regarding the operating budget, the League of Women Voters of Sussex County is concerned that the heavy reliance on the transfer tax for county revenue and a failure to develop other sustainable sources of income is short-sighted. The costs of increasing demands on infrastructure, water, sewer, roads, emergency services, schools, etc., required by new development should be anticipated before approval and paid for by the developer. 2 years ago, the League of Women Voters of Sussex County opposed granting time extensions to developers, in part because the county had no adequate system for quantifying the need. The problem was expected to be rectified by the introduction of a computerization of planning and zoning records. We would like to know the status of that project. The League of Women Voters of the United States supports comprehensive long-range planning and believes that wise decision-making requires adequate data and a framework within which alternatives may be weighed and intelligent decisions made. Consideration of environmental, public health, social and economic impacts of proposed plans and actions, as well as protection of private property rights, commensurate with all overall consideration of public health and environmental protection. Our third area of concern is the citizens' right to know and citizens' participation. Our observers note that it is very helpful that 911 addresses have been added to the site description in the agendas. Information about obtaining hearing assistive devices is now available. The appointees and incumbents to boards and commissions are not required to reveal employment or other financial interests. This information should be made public. In the rules of procedure of the Sussex County Council, Rule 12 relates to the conduct of the council during meetings. We have seen this rule broken numerous times, with failure to ask for recognition by the president of council, side conversations, interrupting one another, or talking over one another. Nationally, the League seeks to protect the citizens' right to know and to facilitate citizen participation in government decision-making. Excuse me. The League of Women Voters of Delaware specifies that certain government officials should disclose their financial interests and abide by guidelines for lessening the possibility of conflict of interest. Restrictions to eliminate conflict of interest should be mandated by law or local ordinance to include prohibitions against regulating a business with which the official is associated or has a substantial financial interest. However, the law or ordinance should not be too restrictive, thereby discouraging governmental service. Our observers added a few additional comments regarding issues where the League of Women Voters does not have specific positions. First, although we continue to be favorably impressed by the fiscal management of the county, the practice of council members having individual accounts for granting monetary requests does raise questions of appropriateness. Second, council members have demonstrated genuine concern to citizens who have come to them for assistance. And county employees are consistently polite and very helpful. In conclusion, the League of Women Voters Observer Corps will be continuing its activities this year as we share with you the goal of ensuring good government for the citizens of Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item is the employee of the first quarter, Vanessa Pettigen. We have a tribute and a clock to give. And I will read the nomination. The winner of the employee of the first quarter of 2014 is Vanessa Pettigen. Vanessa has worked for the county since 1976. She began her career as a clerk in assessment and is currently a billing support coordinator in the finance department. Vanessa always brings to her job a high degree of energy, years of commitment, flexibility, and professional conduct. She's gone above and beyond time and again in providing significant support to both internal and external customers. Vanessa's employment at Sussex County encompasses many years, and she has definitely seen many changes. While change is difficult, Vanessa embraces the change and does what is necessary to perform her job. She has dedicated many hours to ensuring billing information is entered and generated correctly, while always taking the time to assist others. Her determination and great attitude to get the job done is part of who she is. Vanessa was nominated by Christine Fletcher, Chief Permit Technician and Utility Permits Department. Congratulations. We have a clock and a certificate and a tribute. We'll get a few pictures here. Yeah, I'll read the tribute. Sussex County Council, be it hereby known to all that the Sussex County Council commends Vanessa Pettigen, Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, first quarter 2014. Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Vanessa Pettigen on the first day of April 2014. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President.
All right.
Congratulations.
Mike, tell her the significance of the clock.
Thank you very much.
The significance of it? Well, it's got a place to put a picture in there.
Oh, okay.
We were going to put a council picture, but I'll have to find better use of it than that.
Picture Sam Wilson.
If you'd like to say anything, you're welcome to, or you don't have to. That's up to you, but thank you very much for all you do for the county.
I just want to say I was very humbled by being nominated, and I wanted to thank everybody that voted for me. And I enjoy working for the county because they let me do what I enjoy most, and that's helping people.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right. Wow. Thank you very much.
We have a lot of wonderful employees. That's one of them. Mr. Lawson?
Okay. Thank you. The next item is a discussion regarding the storage of waste materials, including tires, as it relates to the county code. In your packet this week, there was information from the county attorney's office, including a memorandum regarding code restrictions on such things as tire piles, rubbish, and waste as it relates to the violation of the county code. This topic was asked to be brought onto the agenda by Councilman a week or two ago, and if you'd like, we can go through the memorandum, or we can just open up for discussion.
Why don't you go through the memorandum, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. In the memorandum provided by Mr. Moore's office, it specifically lists issues within the code that would relate to rubbish and waste, and specifically these piles of tires that have been in the attention of the media here recently. And there are specific sections within the code, section 115.191.4, that provide for the council to take action if they choose. I'll read the code. The purpose of this section is to prevent the accumulation of rubbish, trash, and waste materials so as to create an unsightly condition or nuisance detrimental to the use or value of adjoining properties and or to create potential fire or safety hazards that could endanger the safety of the owner, possessor, or other persons. In that regard, no person being the owner or possessor of improved or unimproved lands or premises that are not used for bona fide agricultural purposes shall permit refuse, rubbish, trash, or other waste materials to be placed or to accumulate upon such lands or premises. It goes on with another potential violation in section 191.6, basically saying the same thing. And in summary, there are four remedies that the county could pursue. And I will summarize since they were in the memo. there's five here listed. The first is section 115.191.5, which allows the county, after 10 days, to hire a third-party contractor to clean up the rubbish and charge the property owner for the costs associated therewith. The cost may be imposed within a lien. However, upon our attorney's advice, there may be additional steps that the county should take prior to taking that step, such as site inspection, speaking to other state agencies, and determining the extent of the site violation. A second remedy allows a suit in the Justice of Peace Court for a misdemeanor and a fine. Third remedy authorizes suit in a court of law or equity to restrain, correct, abate, or enjoin the violation or require the removal of the offending condition. Under the common law, a public nuisance action may also be alleged. Fourth remedy allows the state to apply to the Chancery Court for injunctive relief against the property owner or possessor to prevent, enjoin, or abate any continual violation. And finally, additional remedies may be associated involving specific sites if there was a prior conditional use provided. These are the five remedies that are of an option. Of course, there is consideration. How much does the council want to pursue these sites and at what cost? We have gotten some information on the recent sighting of the tire pile in North Georgetown that it would cost the county significant money to remove the tires and have those processed. That's background on this topic.
Comments from council? Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I would just say this. Most of our enforcement has been, the policy has been a complaint-driven type of enforcement, and I think that when we, at this point, my comments basically don't address once we had the problem, but many times there's problems all over this county. It's not even the property owner's fault because it's an isolated road, isolated spot, and it becomes a convenient place for people to dump because nobody can see them. But we have our inspectors riding around, and they're basically following up on complaints that have been sent to the county. So many times these areas get real bad before they come to our attention. So I would suggest that the council ought to make, if we can get a consensus to maybe direct the administrator to say, when it comes to enforcement in this area, when it comes to trash, tires, rubbish, and stuff like that, that we ought to be a little more aggressive and be proactive. And then these spots may not get so bad. So I just see them, being ignored, for months, years, whatever, and then all of a sudden you've got a major problem. So that is one thing I think would be helpful in the whole situation with trash and debris and everything else. The legal ways of going after it, a lawyer is going to have to tell us what's the best, most cost-effective way and do that. But I just think that we've been a little short-sighted on the enforcement when it comes to certain types of problems in the county. Now, I can understand maybe a setback thing or a yard sales or operating or something, you know, some things like that. But trash, rubbish, tires, things like this, we ought to be jumping right on them immediately. Anyway, just a point I thought would be good to make. That's it.
Comments, Mr. Phillips?
I would agree. I have been one who has opposed the county going out and looking for violations in things such as a business being slightly out of compliance with our code because we have a hard enough time keeping people employed without making this government another obstacle for the hardworking businessmen of this county. But when it comes to trash, tire piles, rubbish, I see no reason why we should not take a proactive position. I don't know that we want to completely change policy today. I think we should consider if there is a code change that needs to be made with respect to this. I do think that today we should consider directing our administration to at least work on this tire pile north of Georgetown that has gotten so much attention. I also found in the state budget, the Department of Natural Resources, if I'm reading it right, I believe has $1.5 million for tire cleanup, or is that $150,000? Mr. Lawson, did you get that budget that I sent over?
Yeah, I did. I don't have it in front of me, but yes.
It's a significant amount of money, and I'd have to wonder how it's being spent, if not for problems like we have north of Georgetown. I do think that if the state just refuses to take responsibility for issues like this, which is obviously within their realm of responsibility, we do need to move forward with cleaning it up and attaching a lien to the property if our legal counsel says that's possible.
Comments from counsel?
Just to follow up, Mayor. Yeah, just again, I believe, Todd or Everett, you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but the way we do enforcement is that it's not in any kind of ordinance form. I think that's just policy.
No, there is an ordinance, and that's what Mr. Lawson had read before from the ordinance first part of the memo.
Right, I know that, but I'm just saying the way our enforcement people go out on the road, they're basically taking a list of complaints, and they're going out. I don't believe they're, unless it's, you know, I guess a glaring issue that they're going to deviate from the list that they've been assigned to go, and we get enough complaints that, as Mr. Phillips alluded to, that keeps our staff busy. But I believe it just takes a direction from the county administrator because the county council thinks it's important that tires, rubbish, trash should be jumped on immediately before it gets to be a big pile of tires and a big pile of something else, and we could be part of this. I mean, to wait for the state to come down and do something and spend taxpayers' money to clean up some guy's, you know, site, I think I'd rather jump on the property owner and get him stopped early on in the process so that we don't spend our tax money cleaning up people's property for them. Because there's no incentive not to pile your things up because the state's going to come by and pay you. So I don't know. But
Mr. Wilson?
I really wasn't going to say anything, but there's a little problem in this thing. You're a property owner. You own the property, and you alluded to it a while ago. There's a small pile of trash, maybe a couple of tires, and it's an acre or two, and then maybe it's 20 miles from your home or something. The next time you hear about it, you got a letter from the county saying all these tires are piled up, and you didn't know a thing about it.
That could be months. That could be years.
That could be a problem. You know, is it? We try to be as fair, I think, on this council to everybody. There's not a soul, not a one of us out here that doesn't ride or have an automobile and doesn't want to get rid of old tires. But we got to treat people Charlotte Farrelly and maybe give them some kind of a notice or something. Say, you got to get these tires off. And it can happen. It can happen in a short while. I mean, you can. So I know I don't always see all of my property. And there's junk. And in fact, down the road, every once in a while, we got to clean that junk up. Might be a year or two. And I've never knew it was there. So it's more of a problem than looking at the property owner and say he's at fault. Most of the time, a property owner, including myself, does not want to pile up junk on my property. Now I have a lot. Some people call it junk. I got a lot of tractors sits around here. I got spare tires for my trucks. I got all those kind of things. But it's a matter of your opinion. And of course, I live on a farm, and I don't come here. Maybe I hope not under these same regulations. But I don't have any close neighbors either. But anyway, we want to be kind of careful how we always point the finger at somebody else and think they're totally at fault.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Mrs. Deaver?
Yeah, what they said. And, I believe we should be sure. We need to research this. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kramer, for reminding me. I think we need to do the research on, work with, see what's, in the law with the state and see how we can work with that. I'm kind of embarrassed that it has been let go, but I imagine that we may have thought that the state was responsible. So in any case, I appreciate the fact that we are looking at this. And I understand it's in our code to do something about it. And I think we should do it. We should be polite and careful how we treat people. And our people all are that way. As far as finding the money for it, I would assume that from the little I've seen, there is some equity there on the property. And that we would be able to be repaid for that expense. That's a very important point. I'd also want to make sure that we don't get into another situation like that where there is no equity and there is no way, to collect from the landowner for leaving such a mess. So I don't want us to, if we have to change something in the code, I don't know how to do it, but I don't want this to keep happening. I don't want it to keep happening because it's not always possible, like I said, to have any way to collect, and I don't want it to be a burden on the taxpayers. And I'm glad we're doing this. I think we're doing it right. And looking forward to hearing from you about exactly what the plan is recommended. Thank you.
Mr. Phillips?
I'd just like to clarify. I think we get repaid through the lien, but there needs to be interest on the money, and there should be a fine as well, so that we don't turn into this cleanup agency for folks. If they've got a pile of trash they want removed, it needs to have more than just the cost of the removal attached to their property.
Anything else from council? Mr. Wilson.
Real quick, there is also a charge, in case folks don't know it. I think it's about $3 per tire. When you go get a tire put on, the one that put the tire on charge you $3 to discard this tire. So there is some charge. I just want to make that clear. It's not a free ride. And somewhere, somebody's goofed off, took the $3 and put them in a pile and hooked us.
Well,
Mr. Phillips.
That makes perfect sense, Mr. Wilson. That's probably where this $1.5 million in the state budget is coming from. So I think step one is to contact the state, ask them to spend some of that money or deduct it from the gas tax that they're looking at and put it in the general fund.
Okay. Else from council?
Well, the gas tax, gas tax is suffering a little bit, I understand, because of all the cars that use so much less gas. I believe sales are way down. I don't know about that. But we should be able to find financing either from the property owner or there really should be a fund at the state. They should be working with us.
Anything else from council comments? Mr. Lawson, you have certainly heard, I think, the views of council, and you can review those comments and then let us know what you're going to proceed with on these things.
Okay. I will do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, sir.
Next item is a consideration of rules of procedure amendment regarding consent agendas. Last week, we discussed the idea of using a consent agenda for the items on agenda that seemed to be taking a lot of time, but we still think the council should have the review of the items and also go through the exercise of approving them. For instance, wastewater agreements could be used under consent agendas. You'll see a few of those coming up on this agenda today. I'm passing down the rules of procedure as they currently stand. If you turn to page 4, you will see a red line version of the rules amended to include consent agenda. This language was drafted by our county attorney, and I agree that this would allow the council to utilize a consent agenda once approved and once amended and approved on a future agenda. In the packet for this week also was an example of the consent agenda process by which the president of council would exercise the agenda process when it comes forward on a future agenda. So my recommendation would be to amend the current rules of procedure as they are presented in front of you and approve and adopt the new rules of procedure to include a consent agenda in a future council meeting. And I have
give
a motion.
Give us an example.
Called what?
Just if you could give us an example, like you said, on today's agenda.
Sure. So if you recall, a few weeks ago, there was a litany of wastewater agreements,
right,
probably 8 to 10, where Mr. Godwin would read through the agreement and the applicant, and this is just an exercise by which the engineering department has signed off on this agreement. Council has approved it through a motion, and then they are brought forth for that vote, and the agreement is finalized. Okay. That is just a procedural exercise. The council generally does not review the agreement in much detail, mm-hmm. But the legal advice from our attorneys was you should still be privy to that exercise of approving the agreement so that when in the future, if the agreement gets questioned, it was approved by a council motion. However, because it's just a procedure, if we listed it on a consent agenda, we had 5 of them under there, and in the future, you would move to agree to the consent agenda and approve the consent agenda as approved, and one vote would approve all 5 agreements.
Okay.
And I think I read it also, if any member of council wanted to pull an item off that agenda and have it act on separately, they can ask that. That's correct.
That is okay. Correct.
I have a question, too.
So if you...
I was just wondering how much time that member of council would have to decide that. At what point could that be done? I mean,
well, 7 days would be
mm-hmm.
at the minimum
mm-hmm.
Because the consent agenda would be listed on the agenda that's posted
right.
a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So you would see it on the agenda, consent agenda, and then item number 1, wastewater agreement, like today, Hopkins Pettijohn subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
You would see all that information still listed on the agenda. So up until the time of the meeting when you get to the consent agenda as you work your way through that day's agenda, you would be able to pull any agreement off and ask to either have that tabled, considered separately. You would not be forbidden from having individual analysis of whatever's on the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? Mr. Moore?
Yeah, just to expand on that a little more, you would be allowed to pull that off because it is already listed on the agenda. So it's simply a matter of amending the agenda
mm-hmm.
for that one item to give it more full consideration as opposed to just a consent with a group. So it's already advertised. Public knows that it's on the agenda. It's been listed separately. You're just pulling it out of that grouping to have a item, a separate item.
And then at that point, it would be put on a following. Is it left up the air? I mean,
would happen? It states in the proposed rule change
right.
that
mm-hmm.
It would then be considered next
mm-hmm.
on the agenda separately as an item.
But still,
or you could vote to table it, you know, to a later meeting.
Right. Okay. So that's a different move altogether.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything else from council, Mr. Wilson?
Well, is this just for wastewater?
It's wastewater agreements is what's gotten the attention to do this now. But there are other items that if we see that you don't want to have an individual consideration of, we could put on the consent agenda. We could do so in the future. Okay. Right now, we're only talking wastewater agreements.
Okay. Reason I'm asking this question is because the old saying goes, two heads will burn one, even when it is a cabbage, and I'm probably cabbage most of the time. But I can recall, well, I've got the mic here for me, I'm sorry.
Can't hear.
But I can recall that the EOC came up here with a proposal of spending several thousands of dollars. And me being a farmer, knows something about irrigation and water, that I know water just doesn't change temperature when you pull it from the ground. But if you recycle it, and it had the tendency of warming up, and several thousand, if it had not been brought before this council and we had not talked about it, I guarantee it would went on the other way with the engineering department. So that's my thought. I'm kind of elected here to be a little bit of a watchdog, we might say, and sort of run things by us. And it's not taking that much time for me. I'm here to think how we can get this done, how we can actually save money and literally put it back in your pocket. Or worse, a penny saved, a penny earned. And so that's my thought there. We may not pick up on one out of 50, but it's that one. And it could run up to several thousands. So that's my thought about that.
Thank you, sir. Anything else from council? Would council like to think about this for a week, or you want to act on it today? What's the
motion? Mark, I would just say, concerning Sam's concerns, I think that
you could pull it off.
Because you can always pull it off. Sure. We can deal with it. You could have some questions about it. Would you say, let's talk about that one by itself? So I think it gives us the flexibility to do them all at one time. Do you want to, you know, or pull one out or pull two out? It gives us some flexibility, and I don't see where it wouldn't give us still the ability to scrutinize.
Sure.
If your antenna went up one day about water or some other issue,
yeah, well, or I mean, any of it. Mr. Cole, a good comment?
I think we're still doing the same thing. It's on the agenda.
Well, Mr. Cole, I doubt if I would have really picked that up if it hadn't brought for discussion at that day. I doubt if I would, and probably some of you guys here, some of you councilmen, probably injected some kind of thought that maybe even go further until we finally came with this solution. And we even had, if you can remember, we had an engineer come, and probably part owner of that company, came down and says, what a magnificent idea. And it was just a simple thought that saved $1,000, and it was just because of discussion here. So I'm not... I can't discuss these things by myself. It takes usually two at least, and that's what I'm talking about here.
Sure, sure.
But this is wastewater agreements.
This is primarily wastewater. Well, but it's a valid,
sir,
Mr. Porter.
Sir, I asked that question when I first started talking. I asked the administrator, was this wastewater? It can start there, but I'm a little leery about this Campbell's getting his nose under the tin, and what happens, and the thing goes. I'm not saying Mr. Lawson can't do his job perfectly, and he's probably one of the best administrators we could ever hire. That's not the point. The point is, because, you know, it's like I said a while ago, we got a cabbage head here that once in a while comes up an idea, and that's what this public expects from us, and I think that's what they want. I'm for saving money. If we can cut here and save money, we'll cut it. But most I can say is we should defer it and talk among us here for a week, at least each other, and see what you... I mean, we've talked about this before, but I don't think in detail.
I'd like to make that motion.
To defer it, yes,
okay. For a number of reasons.
But. We have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second Mr. Cole, to defer. Do you want to defer it for a period of time or just defer?
Well, like Mr. Wilson was saying, I certainly would like to have at least a week because it doesn't only refer, it doesn't only apply to wastewater agreements. And I have learned a lot from listening to more of the detail. Now, whether or not that's something that county council has to hear, that's beside the point. My concern is mainly that it does not only apply to wastewater agreements. And I don't know where it can go from there. So,
okay. Would you be okay with your motion to defer for 2 weeks?
Yes, I would.
Mr. Cole, you second that?
Yeah, that'd be fine. I think what we're talking about, my understanding is, we are only talking about wastewater agreements at this time, nothing else.
But so it doesn't.
It just, you know, we would have another debate later on if we wanted to expand it. So right now it's just wastewater agreements, which, when they come in front of us, the attorneys have scrutinized them, the engineering department's gone over them, and it's pretty much a bidding process. Anyway, I think we could move forward, but I'll be fine to defer for 2 weeks.
We have a motion, Mrs. Deaver, second Mr. Cole, defer for 2 weeks the issue of the rules of procedure amendment regarding consent agendas. Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you.
The last item is the administrator's report for April 1, 2014. Only one item. The Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control recently contacted Sussex County to request county staff respond to the attached county property tax assessment survey. According to DNREC, the purpose of this survey is to take the initial step in reviewing county tax assessment data to help quantify how a proposed environmental fee tax could be implemented to support the governor's announced Clean Water for Delaware's Future initiative. This survey is part of a discovery process to help ensure that DNREC understands what county tax assessment data is available. Providing answers to the questions below will not commit a county government to a proposed environmental fee tax collection process. End quote. Staff will work with DNREC to provide an adequate response and will keep this council apprised of any action DNREC considers. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jennings, have you had a meeting with DNREC on this issue before?
I did. I had a meeting a few months ago about this, and then as a result, they called me and said that a survey would be coming, and this is the survey, to gather more information on how we could possibly do this tax and put it on our tax bill.
And I think your response to them at that point in time was that to get the information they want us to gather. Our software would not do that at this point in time.
That is correct.
This would cost this county $100,000 to upgrade it.
I do not have a price. We would have to go back to the software. I don't recall.
That number was mentioned. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
So it will. We would have to go back to the software company, and then they would have to evaluate the charges on how much it would cost us to put it all together.
Thank you.
Uh huh.
Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning I will endeavor to update you on our legislative concerns first. That is, we have two bills that are relatively new. I mentioned these last week, but I want to